Father, we come now to your word, and we pray that you would open our hearts and open our minds and open our spirits to hear what you would have us hear, that you would speak to our hearts and be honored by our attention. Lord, we pray that you would change us and that you would fill us with your spirit. And we ask for a blessing on Paul and as he brings the word to us. Pray that you would strengthen him and give him clarity of mind and heart. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Welcome to Ouray Christian Fellowship. My name is Paul Karras. I'm the new pastor here. Thank you for worshiping with us and taking some time out, especially for all you visitors. Again, we're so glad to have you. It is feel like a little bit of a swing from last week. The party's over. And so here's what remains. You guys are still partying hard here, so it's great. Rick Culpitz, one of our elders, provided the message last week. He did a great job. Gave me a little bit of a breather between sermon series. If you've been here for the last couple of months, we've been going through a kind of a five-week series on the Great Commission. Started all the way back, kind of commemorating Ascension Day and Jesus' last words, and we just wrapped that up 2 weeks ago. Today, we're going to get into a series called Rooted. And so we're going to be looking at moving from this idea of being messengers of God, sharing God's love with people, bringing that message of reconciliation to people, planting seeds. And then we're going to look at now a little bit for the next couple of weeks of what does it mean to grow now? As we have been people who have received the gospel message, what does that look like now? How does that gospel message start taking root in our life? And so we have this passage here from Psalms 1:3, and it says this, that a person rooted in their faith shall be like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaves do not wither. Whatever they do, they will prosper. And so we get this sense of, as you have received the gospel message, the big goal here is for our roots in faith to grow deep. And to be planted in such a way where they continue to be nourished, to strengthen the body. And so you get this idea, it yields fruit in seasons whose leaves do not wither. So as storms come and things of that nature, you are strong to stand against the things of life that are just going to come and nag us. And so this is kind of the goal for this sermon series is what does it look like to be planted, to grow? What does it look like for God to do his work in our lives to where we get to a point of maturity in our faith? And so this morning, we're going to be looking at a passage of scripture, Matthew 13. And so if you have your Bibles, I invite you open to that. We're going to read verses 1 through 9, and then we're going to jump over to 18 through 23. The scriptures will be on the screen if you don't have your Bibles. But one of the things we like to do here is stand for God's word. And not that mine's any less important, but you can sit for mine. Because Lord willing, God is working through me. So let me pray first before we get into the reading of God's word. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we can come here and worship you, God. Lord, as we read your scripture here, we pray for your spirit to make these words come alive for us, that they would hit us in a new and fresh way, God. And I pray, Lord, that we would never become so used to your words that we would never find the truth that you're speaking to us in that moment or in this moment. So again, we pray, Lord, that our eyes would be open, our hearts would be open to receive your word right now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So that same day, starting in verse 1, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and a great crowd gathered about him, so that he got into the boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow. And he sowed some seeds and fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them out. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some hundredfold, 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, I just take a break before we jump into verse 18 here. Between verses 10 and 17, there's this discussion that goes on between the disciples and Jesus and says, you know, the disciples want to know, why do you teach in parables? And so Jesus is explaining why he teaches in parables to people. And it's really to draw people's attention to spiritual realities. He's trying to make the truth of God's word plain for all. And I love that he doesn't talk over people's heads. He brings a message in a way that they can connect agriculturally, things and things that they can get their heads around, and then hopefully their eyes be open to a bigger spiritual truth. And so he explains this in those verses. But then he picks it up because he wants to explain now the parable to make it clear for all to understand. He says in verse 18, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word, immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulations and persecution arises on the account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, another 60, and another 30. You may be seated. So, I have a question for you guys. How many, show of hands, like gardening? Wow. All right. How many don't like gardening? So, this question then goes to the people who like to garden. What would you say are some of the essentials for growing something to be successful? Some essentials for a successful growth of a plant or whatever it is you said you want. Sun, okay. Water, good soil. What? Okay, seed. Weeding. Okay, so the environment. All right, so let me ask a little bit different. Given that information, can you make a ground more hospitable for growing things? Are you sure? Okay, just wanted to clear that up. So today's passage, we kind of have, the scripture brings all that kind of into view, but there's this emphasis, right, on the soil. And so this is kind of where we're going to be today. The idea is that God is the sower, man is the sower, we're giving the seed, the gospel message to people, and the hopes is that it will take root in somebody's heart and grow. And so in doing this, obviously water, sunlight, all those things, weeding, the environment, those will all factor in here. But today we're kind of focusing in on the soil that the seed falls in. Growing up, my parents loved the garden. We lived in Long Island, and they grew everything. I don't know if you guys know this, at one time Long Island used to be all potato fields. And so big potato crops, things like that. Now it's, you hardly recognize if there's any farms at all out there, the way it's been built up. But our backyard, the composite of the soil was great for growing things. And so my dad had everything from, I wrote some of these things down. We grew corn, we grew peas, potatoes, squash, zucchini, eggplant, rhubarb, tomatoes. We had peach trees and apple trees on the property. My mom was a huge gardener. We had an acre of land, which was kind of big for Long Island, gardening all around the pool, the front, things like that. And it just took a lot of work, and it needed a lot of attention. Somebody said weeds. You have to do one of the things for a successful garden is to weed it. Well, guess who got to weed it? Me and my other siblings. And it's probably why I don't like gardening today. Because I couldn't stand it. We weeded for money. We weeded because we were told to. We were weeding because we got in trouble sometimes, and that was what we did. And I couldn't stand it. And even though the fruit and all the vegetables and all this stuff that my parents grew, that was great, and the gardens looked awesome, it just didn't sink in for me. And so, again, garden has not taken up. Kim loves the garden, but I think I hold her back sometimes. So I just had a bad experience. But again, what made my parents' garden successful was the soil. And so out in Long Island, there was a good mixture of sand in that soil that allowed for irrigation and things for it to grow. And so we were pretty successful. When Kim and I first started out in ministry, we lived in a house that was about 30 minutes away from the church. And part of getting to the church is we had to go through one of the largest producing crops of onions for our country. 22 square miles of onion fields. And so here's a picture actually from what we passed through. 22 miles, one road through, farms on each side, and they were called the black dirt farms. I've never seen anything like it. The dirt was as rich and black as you could ever see. And so I did a little research on it, and it says that the muck soil is high in sulfur, which increases the onion's sugar content and makes it perfect for cooking. And not only that, the farmers would say the soil is so absolutely amazing, it works basically like a sponge. No matter how dry, it keeps bringing moisture to the surface. And so there were certain things that they could grow there that just came out spectacular. And I got to tell you, during the heat of the harvest, things like that, man, your eyes would tear driving through. You would cry. I mean, they had everything. But it was also cool because they were one of those, every farm had a garden stand where they just left bags of different kinds of onions out in a little money box, and you drop in if you want to take a 5-pound bag. It was great. And so, again, we used to drive through this probably sometimes 2-3 times a day because that's just the way where we lived. We had to travel. And so, again, the main thing, again, here, the big idea is that the soil matters when it comes to growing things, for things to be successful in growth. And Jesus understands this, and he's trying to get people's attention in this passage about what really matters when it comes to growing deep roots, when it comes to your faith. And so, again, we have this idea to have a well-rooted faith, the soil matters. And this is kind of the big idea and really the only idea that we're driving at this morning with this sermon. Jesus gives us four different scenarios of a seed being spread in this parable. But notice this. One thing, this is kind of a side observation. Notice that the seed of the gospel is available to all. It falls on all four kinds of soils that are mentioned here. So he doesn't just sow seed here in one specific area. He sows it everywhere. And I think that's important for us to understand. Going back to the Great Commission sermons, you know, sometimes I think we get it in our heads as to, well, this person might accept Christ and this person might not. And we start creating lists, and we don't mean to do that, but we kind of categorically do that with the gospel message. And here Jesus is reminding it, the gospel is for everyone. The message is generously, no matter what the heart condition, sown to everyone. So then he gets into explaining the word, the good news shared here with others. The soil is the heart of a person where the seed of the good news can take root. So let's take a look at these four soils that Jesus talks about, right? So soil number one is this, a hardened heart. Verse 19 says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. What has been sown in his heart, this is what was sown along the path. Scripture makes it clear that there will be some people who are opposed to the good news and that those that are oblivious to it. Whether it's by personal decision or innocent omission, the parable is clear that the seed will not grow where there is an unreceptive soil. In fact, he makes it clear that the enemy will even come to snatch up this seed because he doesn't want the seed to have any opportunity to take root and grow in a person's life. This last Friday, my wife and I and my daughter, we went to the concerts out in Grand Junction called Night Vision 2022. And so it's something that they do there. They bring in Christian bands and speakers. And it was a really great night outside of the fact that it was almost 100 degrees while we're sitting there. But one of the things that they do at Night Vision is that when the speaker comes up to speak, they've asked all the vendors and the concessions and things like that to shut down. And I actually really appreciate that because, you know, for all the music and things like that, they know that one of the most important things that a person can hear is that message, that gospel message. However, as Kim and I were walking to festivals, and this wasn't our first festival, Kim and I have been going to music festivals for the last 20 years, taking teenagers on camp trips and things like that to hear Christian bands. And so we're kind of walking around just enjoying the atmosphere, but you could tell some of the vendors were annoyed about this. And they must have gave all the vendors the same sign that said, concessions are closed, and they would hold it up if anybody approached or came near to the concession stand. There was this one individual, though, you could tell was kind of mocking that whole idea. And Kim and I even talked about it, and she said, I feel like he's kind of mocking the fact that they had to close, you know? And I said, yeah, I think you're right. And it kind of continued on. It was actually a vendor that we wanted to eat at. They had lobster mac and cheese. I couldn't pass it up. And so we get up there, and the lines open, the message ends, and things like that. But it just kind of occurred. At first, I was kind of annoyed with this guy. And I was like, man, is this guy so hardened, you know, to the point that he's kind of mocking the idea that they had to close. But then my mind started to turn to this idea. I'm like, I probably should pray for this guy. You know? My flesh wants to be responsive and be antagonistically back to this person. Or say, I'm not buying your food or whatnot, walk away. But God kind of got a hold of my heart. And he was like, this man needs Jesus. And I started thinking about that, and it's so true. And I think, you know, as we go through the different soils here, I think sometimes the mistake would be for us to draw the conclusion that these other three soils are beyond reach. They're beyond reach. And I think that would be a mistake to draw that conclusion. Because it doesn't support the evidence for why Jesus would sow abundantly on all soils. Right? And so my encouragement to us this morning is, as you think, and you're probably starting to think of people that you know or you've encountered that are hard-hearted, that you feel like are resistant to the gospel, and there's no chance, allow that to lead you to pray for that person. God has called you to sow the seed. He hasn't called you to grow. We're going to talk about that next week, to make it all happen. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, but he's called you to be a messenger, to be a conduit for his grace and his love. And so as we look at these different soils here, I want us to just kind of keep that in mind. Because the reality is, if we were to look at the Apostle Paul, and if I'm assuming you know his story, he was persecuting the church. He was murdering people. And yet this man, we could have easily said, well, his heart's hard. He'll never receive Christ. And yet, look what God did to his hardened heart. He broke it up. He made it soft again. And he went on to be a champion for Christ. And so that's why I say, all these soils that we'll look at here, don't make the mistake to think, well, there's no chance. Continue to pray for the people that you know in your life that are like this. So as we proceed on, we look at the second soil here. He says it's a troubled heart. Matthew 13, verses 20 and 21, says, as for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on the account of the word, immediately he falls away. Life is long and at times a difficult journey. And I think anybody here can testify to that. You will have your ups and your downs. You'll be in the storms at one minute, and basking in the sun in the next. And yet, trouble comes to all of us. John 16:33 says this. Jesus even says, look, you're going to have trouble in this world. He doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't hide anything from us. He says, look, trouble is coming. Yet, how many people do we know who has started out in the faith and they saw the troubles of the world and it was just too much for them and they walked away? And so this is kind of the picture we're getting with this soil. When Kim and I were first in ministry, you know, we're always excited. I'm excited now when people come to church. But when they bring new people, and this girl started attending, you know, through the connection of peers and friends. She didn't know the Lord. She comes to know the Lord, puts her faith in the Lord. And sadly, she wrote me a note about a few months later. And she said, I just, you know, I look at the world, the injustices of it. Why does this happen to somebody and not another? And she says, I just can't stay with this anymore. I kept that letter as a reminder. And of course, my natural inclination is, oh, I wish I had that conversation, or I wish I had that opportunity to talk to her through it and things of that nature. Go through that process with her and try to help her make sense of this through God's word. But there are going to be times where people will walk away because what they see as injustices in the world, they just can't. You've heard this line, right? I can't believe in a God who would allow this to happen. And so we get this sense of soil here. But again, I go back to my original point. These are opportunities. Rather than say, oh, I can kind of identify this person, this person, this person. If anything, at least this, what is it informing us is how we can pray for another person. How we can engage with another person. But scripture says shallow roots will not sustain a person through the adverse and difficult seasons of life. So for us as Christians, as we're sitting here hearing this message, as we're looking at the different soils, you should start to think about this idea of, okay, where is the soil of my heart at? Is it ready to endure some of the bigger life challenges that might come my way? And again, I really believe, as we'll see in a little bit here, I believe Jesus is, he's not talking to the obscure person. He's trying to bring a message personalized to his listening audience. He's speaking to everybody's hearts. Going on, soil number three he talks about is this distracted heart, which bears no fruit. It says, as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word out. It proves unfruitful. And so the way I've always looked at this is this idea that a distracted heart can't grow its roots needed to sustain life here. You know, your heart starts to, you know, care about other things. Other things become bigger than your love for Christ. Money, material possessions, status, popularity, other worldly endeavors. These start to become bigger of interest. And when they do, they start to choke out the word of God in your life. Because the word of God, your heart's not getting the nutrients that it needs to grow healthy. And I love this. I love C.S. Lewis. I hope you don't mind. I know I used it 2 weeks ago. But C.S. Lewis was asked, he was a British writer and theologian. He was asked in 1939 to speak to some students who were in their finals at Oxford University. And here's the content of his message. I'll read it. It's on the screen. It's a little small, but he spoke to them about this, about distractions. He said, there's always plenty of rivals to our work. We are always falling in love or quarreling, looking for jobs or fearing to lose them, getting ill and recovering public affairs. If we let ourselves, we shall be waiting for some distraction or other to end before we in the worship can really get down to our work. The only people who achieve much are those who want knowledge so badly that they seek it while the conditions are still unfavorable. Favorable conditions may never come. And so I love what he has to say here because I think he's speaking to those of us who get distracted. I'm kind of a last-minute type person. I go under that guise that I work best under pressure. But really, there is something there that I need to wrestle with, and that is the idea of being intentional. And I can find it so easy, like anybody else, to allow other things to become more important to me. And so, again, I think Jesus, once again, he's speaking to this person here in the crowd that allows other things to become of greater importance. And he's warning us. He's warning all of us of what could happen. That you may allow these things become bigger in your life and therefore it will choke out the truth of God's word in your life. And I believe it. He's saying, don't let that happen. So then we come to our last soil here. And he says, a fertile heart sustains life. And he goes, as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word, understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, another 60, and another 30. And this is a heart that is fertile. It's one who's readily accepts the gospel seed and does the hard work of nurturing it to grow. This is the heart that's open to the truth of God's word. and the prompting of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And that's going to be a big point of conversation next week in next week's message about the growth process that happens in our life. How does that happen? But it's this idea that healthy soil is where seeds have the most opportunity to grow into a life-giving plant. So the question here is, if the soil of the heart matters, we need to ask a simple question for us. What kind of soil describes our heart today? Are you indifferent to the good news? Do you allow things to distract you? Is there a certain hardness towards receiving? Or maybe your soil is fertile, but maybe you've just gotten a little distracted about taking care of it, doing the things to enrich it. What I love here that Jesus says, and I think it's so important before we close our message today here, is this question that Jesus throws out in verse 9. He says, "He who has ears, let him hear." I believe Jesus is saying to his audience, you have a chance. No matter where the soil of your heart is or what condition it's in, you have a chance if you have ears to hear what I'm saying, to change the course and the direction of where things are going with the gospel message in your life. If you remember at the beginning of the message, I asked all of you, is it possible to take something that's hard, that is, you know, in hospital for growth, and enrich it in a way that it can become a successful plot of soil to grow things? And you guys all said yes, emphatically. I think Jesus is saying the same thing to all of us and to his listeners there. It doesn't matter what the soil looks like right now, but what matters is where the soil will look like over time. And you have a chance to do something with the soil of your heart. Let those who have ears hear what I am saying. So, I want to give you a few practical things that we can do this week, right now, where we can bring enrichment to the soil of our heart. And the first one is this idea. Dedicate time in prayer this week. There's no follower of Jesus who says, I follow and have this relationship with Christ without conversation with him. If you want to be enriched, if you want your soul to be enriched, spend time talking with him this week. Spend time in prayer. That's what prayer is. It's conversation with God. We sometimes make it to be so lofty and got to have all the right words. No, it's a relationship. Just like I'm sitting here talking with you right now, where I'd hope to sit with you over coffee and talk. Spend time talking with your Savior. He's going to reveal things to you that you need to hear. Sometimes it's things that he wants you to grow in, and other times there's things he just wants to encourage your heart with. Spend time in prayer. The other thing here is, I would say this, remove distractions. C.S. Lewis was getting at this idea with all those students. Look, there's always going to be something that will distract you. There's always going to be something you got to do. And for a lot of us, sometimes we kind of go from life to kind of waiting for that next thing. He's saying, be intentional about your faith. Take control of your faith. Do something with it. And so I don't know what it means for you this week. Maybe it's less TV, watching shows. Maybe it's sleeping actually less. I know a lot of us just wish we could sleep sometimes. You know, maybe it's get off the social media. Take a social media fast for a little bit. Whatever it is, be intentional with your time with Christ. Spend that time. And then the last thing I would say is seek out accountability and encouragement. Seek out accountability and encouragement. Find that person who will spur you on to good works, as the Hebrew writer wrote. Find someone who can hold you accountable to some of these changes that you're trying to make in your life, because the goal is for you to have a rich, healthy soil in which the gospel can grow in. And so these are just some easy things that we can do this week. So again, going back to my first point of the message, being rooted in the faith, the soil matters. And that's what Jesus is trying to communicate to his audience here. Your growth and the depth of your growth depends on the soil and the condition of your heart. And so the question is, how will you enrich the soil of your heart? Again, maybe it's those four things: prayer, reading, intentionality, and accountability. I don't know what it is, but take time to tend to the soil of your heart this week. Next week, we're going to look at what it means to grow in our faith. And so each week we'll build on a concept here. But this week, again, what you should be walking away with is the soil matters, in which the seed of the gospel is planted in. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today, Lord. Lord, I love that you are a God of first, second, third, fourth, fifth chances, etc. And you so desperately want people to know the love that you provide through your son, Jesus. And you want people to have a restored relationship with you. And so you go to all sorts of means to make that clear to us. Even as we see in the passage this morning here of you sowing seeds on all sorts of different soils, from the hard soil to the receptive soil, your desire is that no one should perish. And you can take the hardest of heart and change it. But God, I believe this is about us this morning. I believe it is a call for us to pay attention to the soil of our heart. You tell us and you tell your audience, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. It's so tempting to always think about somebody else, God. But I pray, Lord, that we would internalize this. Do we have hearts that are allowing the seed of your gospel to grow deep? Is our heart conditioned in such a way for growth? And so, God, I pray, Lord, that we be encouraged to not avoid that conversation with you. To lay aside the things that would hinder us from running after you, God. God, I pray, Lord, that you would put people in everyone's life this week, Lord, to encourage them in their faith. And God, in doing so, I know that they will experience a closeness with you. They will feel and experience your presence as they do that work. And I pray, Lord, that would bless them more than anything else. God, I also want to pray for people that we do know in our lives, Lord. As we hear a message like this and we think about others, God, help us to be moved to praying for them. Help us to realize there is no one beyond your reach, God. Help us to have greater compassion. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It's time we're going to have our closing song, and so we invite you to stand with us.